Hey, what's going on, Clipper people? It is me, William the Opinion Updike.
And I am positive Chuck Mockler.
And today on Locked On Clips, we're going to be talking about Terrence Mann and his season grade, as well as a What You Say Wednesday. This is kind of a Sophie's Choice edition.
Ooh, it was tough.
Who would Clipper Nation rather keep between Nico Batum and Robert Covington? Tough, tough question to answer. And then also, the Clips are now the odds-on favorite for landing Kyrie, so we're going to talk about all that and more coming up right about now.
You are Locked On Clippers. Your daily Los Angeles Clippers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Yes, welcome to Locked On Clips, coming at you 5 days a week, Monday through Friday. Kill some windshield time with us, coming out 7 a.m. during this off-season time. We've been doing season grades. This is the first bench player that we've done. This is Terrence Mann, who Miriam Swanson, since she couldn't pick Reggie Jackson, said was the 21-22 Clippers MVP.
I mean, would you still put him as MIP? I know some people were like...
Oh, she said MVP.
Yeah.
Oh.
Which I think it's a val... it is definitely a valid argument.
He was second on the team in total minutes, total points, and total rebounds.
Yeah.
So I think other than Reggie, it's pretty fair to say...
The MVP...
You could argue it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think you could argue it.
Well, I guess the... The only reason I bring it up is because, you know, there was some league-wide MIP talk for Terrence Mann.
Oh, we'll get into that. Yeah, that...
expectations were maybe a little high.
Very high for Terrence Mann. He ended up finishing averaging 11 points, 5 boards, 2.6 assists, and 28 minutes per game over 81 games, which...
81 games.
The most of any Clipper. And 81. Another reason maybe his valuableness could be argued.
Should have gone for the Iron Man.
Come on. Your knock on Tatum playing all the games. He shot 36% on just over 2.5 three-pointers per game, 53% on 6 two-point attempts per game, also added 0.7 steals per game, which is kind of nice. Some good games from him. He had 21-9-2 and a two-point win over Dallas in February, and then 19-10-4-3 in the three-point win versus the Lakers also in February. That was probably my favorite Terrence game of the year.
That was incredible.
What
a performance.
That was awesome. So, Will, what did we like from Terrence this season?
Well, I mean, I think we saw him grow as a facilitator, most certainly. You know, it's interesting because we use him as a guard, you know, and he's been forced into that role since he's been with this team.
Yes.
And, you know, like it has changed from them trying to do like sort of a pure point thing to more of like a hybrid.
Yeah. The wing stop version of it.
But yeah, when he is being aggressive and looking to like either score or hit a teammate, he is a piece that can keep that offense moving on the second unit, which was really important in a season in which we just didn't really have someone to do that with those guys.
Yeah.
And then on the other end of the floor, his defensive versatility. He's an older player because he came into the league older, but I always think of him as, you know, his first year was kind of a wash. This, to me, in some ways, was kind of his sophomore season.
Good call. I'll take that. I agree with that.
And I think the defensive versatility that he's been able to display is really admirable and quite an improvement if you remember at all from when he was first on this Clippers roster.
That's great. Ty Lue said he plays the 6 because they asked him to guard 1 through 5. We saw him put in some really good defensive work on Chris Paul with his size against a guard of Chris Paul's size. He could guard big wings just because he's pesky and stuff like that. We saw a little bit of some Pat Bev type stuff from Terrence Mann in terms of stat lines this year.
Absolutely.
And you look at, you know, I mean, 11-5-2 and 28 minutes per game on this version of the Clippers is pretty good. I think before the season started, we said it'd be great to see Terrence at like 12-6-4 or something.
Yeah.
And he's
right there.
He's right there. He had some really nice kind of chunky stat lines towards the end of the regular season that showed kind of what some of these expectations that people had after the playoffs against Utah. Towards the end of March, he put up these 4 games in a row. 18-10-4, that wasn't 44 minutes, 16-9-4, 14-2-6, and 24-8-4. Yes, we lost every single one of these games. That's not the point. But we just saw him get kind of some of that confidence and things like that, which I think bridges into what we didn't like. There's still a little bit of stiffness when it comes to kind of letting it fly and some passivity.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. And that can be one of those things that unfortunately we didn't get to work on more, you know, because of the injury with PG.
Mm-hmm. He looked kind of off with PG sometimes where he was he couldn't be his like true chaos self.
I don't know if some of that was like a little bit of not beginner's luck, but sort of
situational.
Him being thrust into that role with the starters, I think probably instilled him with like a different level of confidence. And, you know, he did start in stretches and then, you know, became sort of the de facto guard.
Yeah.
And, I mean, like I say that kind of like with air quotes, but like the one of the primary
wing guard. Yeah.
Yeah. On that second unit. So I don't know if. I wouldn't think that that would rock his confidence.
Because he played everything really well that Tyloo asked him to do, which
we've
talked about sometimes can stunt your development because you're like, all right, I got to kind of do whatever here.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, you know, guys being like out of position or having to stretch their skill set beyond the bounds of, you know, what it really is.
Yeah.
I think it's interesting. And I think it's one of those things that, like, from a developmental standpoint, we do well as an organization. But sometimes, you know, it can be too much and it just, like I said, it comes at the detriment, of the other aspects of your game being able to flourish.
Yes. And with the injuries and everything, it was like, he had to, this is another scenario with every one of these guys. It's like, they had to do too much.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think some of that, you know, a lot of times when he's hesitant, Terrence is like one of the more easy to read players for me when he's overthinking something.
Oh yeah. Him and Luke.
Yeah, like just the thought process is really
you can see it. Clear. It's like a cartoon thought bubble
of yeah,
everything that, happening in their head.
That he's not like acting instinctually or like what he's supposed to do in this position maybe hasn't been drilled in tight enough. And, you know, once again, that's an aspect of being asked to do a lot.
Yeah.
But, you know, those moments of hesitation are super costly. You know, it just allows the defense to recover. And yeah, there were a lot of sort of like face palming moments where it was like Terrence,
the ball would stop.
Why did you not just take the shot?
Yes.
There was, you know, I kind of hate like the in out dribble or like the dribble circle around where like the ball is not advancing in any sort of meaningful way. And sometimes he's getting to the paint.
Or he'd do the turnaround jumpers that
like
you're just kind of like, that's not your shot. He's a slasher. He's a great finisher.
Yeah. And I feel like this year, I mean, partially because, you know, he was kind of that facilitator role. We didn't get to get him in rhythm with as many of like those like baseline cuts and just kind of like nice little things that I feel like instill confidence within the flow of a game.
Yeah. I'd love to see more ATOs drawn up for Terrence because he's such a good cutter.
Yeah.
His another thing that's kind of interesting, his per 36 is the exact same as the year before, if not a little bit worse.
Mm.
So 2021, he averaged 13.5. Points, 6.9 boards, 3 assists. This last season, he averaged 13.5 points, 6.6 boards, 3.2 assists, and his two-point percentage, three-point percentage, and free throw percentage all went down.
Oh, yikes.
Per 36, year over year. Which makes me wonder, and this can kind of go into his final grade a bit too, is he ceilinged out on this particular Clippers roster? Is 11.5... What is it? Is 11, 5, and 3 in 28 minutes per game the max that Terrence can do on this roster? And this isn't a knock on Terrence. Fully healthy, this roster is, it's hard to find, you know, minutes like that and with the system. But I just thought this was interesting, and it's something that I will definitely keep an eye on next season.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that he's reached his ceiling. I guess I would say, or like with this roster, you know, I think a narrowing down of his responsibilities will certainly be beneficial.
Yeah.
But I guess the other thing to think about is like, what of these numbers are you expecting to increase? Because like points per game,
I guess the boards,
unless he's like pulling the trigger on a lot more threes, which like, you know,
you don't want him to do that.
He's not even the best, you know, catch and shoot guy you know, that we have on the second unit at any given time. So the thing for me is I guess I would like to see that rebounding number.
That's what I was most surprised by. A little bit of the boards, right? Like I would love if Terrence could average 9, 6.5, 5.5 or something like that. Then you're like, oh, this is a nice little complete, like not that he's not complete now, but It's just interesting to see.
Yeah.
And his VORP went up as
faithful. And I mean, it's now. He's, you know, he's a little bit developing in, like you said, the Patrick Beverley or like the Nick Batum model where like he's kind of a guy on this team where like the stat line is less important than overall impact. And
you know Terrence, what his impact's going
to
be.
and like much like you can kind of, like I said, he's kind of one of the easier players to read what's going on, you know, like if he's overthinking something. It's also really easy to see the impact that Terrence is having on a game, whether positive or negative.
That's
right?
A very good call.
I feel like you get you get a pretty, you know, as soon as he comes in on that first shift, sometimes he's able to turn it around, but a lot of times kind of what you see is what you're getting on that night.
Yeah. Final grade for Terrence Mann.
I'm probably going to have to go B.
I'm going B+.
Nice.
He had to do a lot more on defense this year.
Yeah.
He recently tweeted out that this is his first real offseason, which is crazy to think about.
Yeah.
This is the first time in his career he's had a full offseason.
And
get real offseason Terrence. Like,
yeah, I thought he even came into the season this year like maybe a little bigger.
Makes sense.
Not like fatter, like he bulked up a little bit.
You're not body shaming the man.
No.
Yeah, so B, I'll give him a B+. Shout out Terrence Mann. Great season.
Yeah.
Excited to see what happens. Coming up, we're going to be talking a pretty difficult choice that some Clippers fans had to make in terms of who would be the bigger loss for the Clippers. But first, we got to give a shout out to Shady Rays. It is an independent sunglass company that gives you the features of $200 sunglasses for a fraction of the price. A little behind the scenes information. This ad read is in all capital letters, and I just want to yell it. That means polarized lenses, well-constructed durable frames, and premium high-end finishes. Also, something you won't find anywhere else is Shady Rays' insane protection program. Shady Rays includes lost and broken protection on every pair. They'll send you a brand new pair if you lose them, no matter what happened. Give them a try, and if you don't like them, you'll pay nothing. It's as simple as that. Plus, 10 meals are donated to fight hunger in America when you shop with Shady Rays exclusively. For Locked On Clips listeners, head to ShadyRays.com. Use code LOCKEDON to get 50% off two or more pairs of polarized sunglasses. That's code LOCKEDON for their best deal of the season. 50% off two or more pairs of Shady Rays sunglasses backed by over 150,000 verified five-star reviews.
All right. So we're talking What You Say Wednesday. Every single Tuesday, we put a poll out on Twitter that's at Locked On Clips. We want to know what you think about a given subject. This one was a toughie. Basically, we wanted to know who you thought would be the bigger loss for the Clippers if they did not return next season. The options in this poll were Robert Covington or Nico Batum. Chuck? What did the people have to say?
54% of people said Robert Covington
would be the bigger loss.
Would be the bigger loss for the Clippers. They did not return the Nick Batum, who, of course, got four. It was 54.3 to 45.7. Big thank you to the almost 700 people who voted. This is a tough choice.
Yes.
I'm a little torn.
Okay.
Lucas Hahn gave a pretty solid reason. He said he went Covington just because he's 2 years younger, so it's easy to see him playing this role for a larger portion of the 3 to 5 year PG Kawhi window. Also, him and Batum have the same birthday, so he is exactly
what?
He's exactly 2 years younger. So I like that youth idea and kind of extending the window, but I feel a little apprehensiveness because we didn't really see his minutes ramped up a bunch at the end of this season when it seemed like we were all kind of clamoring for more Roko.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure if this is saving him or if there's a concern level here with that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, we also just know that Batum plus Kawhi and PG works, right?
Known commodities.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like
we've seen it work.
Yes.
So that would make it a little bit difficult for me to lean Robert Covington. The age thing is, though, really interesting because 2 years, I mean, it's not a lot, but it does make a difference.
If you've been on these last two Clippers teams, if you're Nick Batum, That's a long, like, I think that 2 years makes a pretty big difference. Osamu said, I think Roko would get paid more on the open market, so I voted for him. Super close, though. I have Roko as a slightly more versatile defender. Nico is the better, smarter playmaker, maybe better post defender. Definitely could just come down to age. So another person kind of highlighting age between these two. Some people talk about how, like, Batum was a better defender on ball versus Roko. But Roko's, I think, a better defender in space, given the blocks and steal situation.
Yeah.
So they do they're both really good defenders. And they kind of just do complementary things. Well, I should say.
Yeah.
Would be my thoughts on that.
Yeah. I don't know. Both just so good. It's
both so needed.
Yeah, so needed. I mean, these are the kind of guys that, I mean, if you're trying to put together any sort of championship run for a team, you got to have a guy like
one of these guys. If they're not on the Clippers, they will be on a team that's considered a favorite.
Yes.
It's Wami said the recency bias is real with these results. Don't get me wrong. I think the team should do everything possible to keep Roko, but Batum's value as a glue guy alone places him above the former. Nick stabilizes the floor every time he checks in with his consistency and versatility.
I agree.
I agree too.
I agree with this. And like I said, it's the known commodity. You know, we know that it works with Batum, Kawhi, and Paul George.
Yes. Tom Seismansky says, isn't a big enough sample size to say Roko would be a bigger loss. We know how meaningful Batum's minutes have been. Timely threes, consistent defense, and critical plays in small ball lineups. Roko has all the makings of being that exact same fit for the Clippers. He says, he ends it with, but I want both. Couldn't agree more with that last part.
Yeah.
But I mean, we've seen Roko hit timely threes.
It's true.
And it's not like Roko's defense, you're like, whoa, he doesn't really have it tonight.
Yeah.
Defensively. They're so similar that as we're talking through this segment, I might lean Roko. I still think might firmly be in Roko just because of the youth. Youth in quotes. I'm doing air quotes here. Just 2 years younger. I like the point. I do think there's an issue with Roko maybe getting more on the open market than the Clippers can offer. Right? Like if you're one kind
of... He's coming off a 12, like 12-ish a year.
Yeah. And he's looking at less than that, obviously.
Yeah.
But
yeah, but I mean, if someone's willing to go 9, it's Clippers are probably out of it.
Do you think it's crazy? I think someone would offer 10. I think that's the ceiling. I think 10's the ceiling.
You think someone would give him 4 for 40?
I think maybe 3 for 30 with a team on the end.
Yeah.
Team option, I should say. He's not getting 12 again. We know that much. And the Clippers, so in terms of priorities, say Batum opts in, which he should. Vibes here are great. Nico, if you're listening, hope you're doing well. Covington or Hart for priority?
Covington.
By a mile, right?
Not a conversation.
Not even a conversation. Yeah, so he was at almost 13 this year. He was at 12.9.
Okay.
$12,975,000. So for all intents and purposes, 13.
Yeah. I still think his ceiling is probably around a 9 to 10.
Around 9? And it depends how he feels about running role and ring possibilities.
Yeah.
Because there is the, you know, hey, take less money, come run it back with the clip.
Yeah.
Why not? You have a defined role. One of kind of the few guys.
Yeah. And maybe, maybe you offer 2 years at a lower number. He's got a player option on the second year and you can figure it out from there.
He's never really had a big contract. Like this is his biggest contract.
Yes.
Was 4 for 46. So yeah, I don't think he's getting anything close to that again. I want to keep both these guys so bad.
Yeah.
It would be a nightmare if we lost both these guys.
Yes. Yeah.
Losing one
That's
of them.
That's my doomsday scenario.
Oh, yeah. There's some doomsday scenarios we'll run through at some point. Losing one of them, brutal.
Absolutely.
Both, brutal. Don't even want to think about that personally.
Yeah, I'm not even sure. I don't even know who the Clippers can get, you know, given their their salary restrictions and everything that could fill one of those roles.
Coming up, we're actually talking about a player that some people in Vegas think the Clippers are somehow going to get, who would not fill any of the roles that would be left empty from Nick Batum or Robert Covington. Again, a big thank you to everyone who voted. Let's hope we can keep both. Don't see why we can't. Coming up, we're going to be talking Kyrie Irving and a weird Sendarius tweet. But first, Will, Built Bars. What are they? Where can I eat them? What?
Built Bars are the best tasting protein bar on the market. Look, we talk about Built Bar all the time on this podcast. What you might not know is that Built Bar has so many delicious flavors. There's truly something for everyone. It's really cool. When you talk to a Built Bar fan, they're definitely passionate about their favorites. If you don't know the Built Bar flavors, you're missing out. They got coconut, cherry barcia, raspberry, mint brownie, double chocolate, salted caramel, strawberry, orange cookies and cream, and German chocolate.
Wow.
Ooh, yummy.
Crazy.
So good. If you haven't tried all the flavors, you can get a mixed box. We'll get two of each of the nine flavors. Look, I keep going on about the taste, but not only are Built Bar flavors the best tasting, they're healthy too.
What?
Check out these macros. Each bar has 17 to 18 grams of protein, calories ranging from 130 to 180, only 4 to 5 grams sugar, and only 4 to 5 grams net carbs. Amazing flavors, all tasty, all healthy. And don't forget to check out the Puffs. It's the first ever protein-infused marshmallow. They're fluffy, they're marshmallowy, and they're covered in 100% real chocolate. Not just a protein bar, a protein treat that comes in churro, coconut, and banana cream pie.
Mm.
And right now we have a very special offer for our listeners. If you go to built.com and use promo code LOCKED15, you'll get 15% off your order. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com.
All right, welcome to Shavings. Talking about random stuff floating around the Clippers verse. It looks like the Clippers, according to Bet Online, are the early odds-on favorite for Kyrie Irving to come here. The Clippers are +200.
Doesn't it make sense?
Okay. If you don't think about salaries.
Uncle Drew, too, comes out to LA.
That's actually a good point. Clippers are +200. Mavs are +250. Rockets +300. Bulls +400. Team across the hall +600. Heat 7. Knicks 1200. This feels like our fault. A little bit.
We're bringing this up.
I think all the sharps were listening. They were like, these guys don't know anything.
Sharks biting us again.
Sharps, but yeah. So he's got a player option for $36 million, which everyone pretty much is saying he's gonna opt out of.
He's definitely opting out.
He has to opt out of it. So
I just would be so surprised because I've. Generally, players, they opt for more years, for more money.
Yes. So if he opts out, which he probably will, he could re-sign with the Nets for a five-year, $247 million contract. And if he opts out and doesn't sign with the Nets, it's a measly four-year, $182 million contract.
Yeah. Ooh.
So
a lot of money.
So thinking about that, how would he end up on the Los Angeles Clippers?
Signs outright. He's got to sign outright for 182 mil.
I don't even think that's possible. So a sign and trade with the Nets, which, so he's making about $49 million a year.
Oh my God.
So we'd have to find an extra 50 M's hanging out. So Morris, Luke, and Terrence, and then you need another $10 million. So Reggie? Or Zoo and $3 million worth of In-N-Out? Like this, this is impossible.
We got that trade player exemption though.
Oh yeah, we have that.
That's don't we have clear. Like just shy of $10 million that we can use in
we do. Exemption? So we can
sign and trade these guys. You got to add in one small contract, probably Coffee.
Or Boston, because they want some kind of...
Not if Kyrie just flat out wants out.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, so Morris, Luke, Terrence. Well, no, because we can't combine trade options. Because we have one that's like 9 and one that's 8. So we're still...
I think he's staying with the Nets, though. I mean, you kind of saw the quotes that like his plan is to stay with... And this is not the verbatim quote, but he plans to stay with Kevin. He likes that they're kind of like
Durant.
Building the... Yes.
Okay, just to be clear.
Yeah. Kevin, whom else?
I don't know. Big city, a lot of Kevs.
he likes that they're kind of like part of building this franchise alongside sort of, you know, the GM there and
right.
And the team. So I do think that he opts out. I think the Nets, man.
If they don't keep Kyrie, you're kind of in blow it up territory. Not blow it up, but you're in a really weird spot.
Yeah, I just think...
But if you added Morris, Luke, and Terrence, you know, you got some nice depth there.
It's kind of like the Clippers, right? Like, I feel like, you know, they had so many sort of unforeseen circumstances this season.
Yeah.
They really only had one year and not even like a full year of because of injuries, like what we thought that Nets team would be.
Sure. And they had one pretty big obvious hurdle they could have cleared this year had one particular person.
Definitely.
Just gotten the vaccine.
No, definitely. And who knows? Maybe then, you know, Harden doesn't ask for the trade. Who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows? I think there was like a conflict of personalities there anyways.
Of course.
So I don't think that it was just the vax thing.
Right.
But yeah, I guess I would be pretty surprised if before the season he was to walk into that Nets front office and demand a trade. But you know,
but would you also be surprised at all?
I was gonna say I'd also not be surprised because we've heard Kyrie say similar things out of the Boston situation. And then end up changing his mind, which is normal. Makes sense. Change my mind all the time.
Yeah, yeah, who cares? It's $40 million, whatever. So that's probably not going to happen. Kyrie's probably not happening to the Clippers. Do not put your money on that. Something that might happen, though, Goran Dragic. Someone dug up an old interview of his saying he didn't want to play for the Raptors because he had higher ambitions, so he chose the Nets. We all know how that worked out. He went to the Nets on a vet minimum. And... you know, think he's not playing basketball anymore. I mean, he could sign for a min for the Clippers. That's not crazy to think, right?
No, we mentioned him the other day on the podcast. Yeah. I think that, yeah, maybe the Nets can sell him on the situation there and that they can turn things around. It just seems like it's a little bit of a dysfunctional organization. Like, they seem like they're in a little bit of a...
there's some friction happening.
It seems like they're in a, like, maybe a little bit of a tough spot. So yeah. I think if you can convince him of, you know, a better situation in LA, I mean, I think it's a possibility.
I think it's,
I mean, the
a
Lakers
pretty
are also going to be gunning after him too. So
that's right. Oh God. I think the Clips are a really nice sell for Goran, where it's like, you can come in, you don't have to start, like things like that. I mean,
well, we can't really offer him a starting role. So if that's what he's looking for, which I don't know that that's necessarily the case, but if that was what he was looking for, we can't really offer him that.
No, and I wouldn't want to.
Yeah.
For a min or whatever. But Goran on a min as a backup point guard?
Oh, that's a great
all
deal.
Day.
Yeah.
All day. Close out the episode. We have a rare misstep by Sindarius Thornwell, the namesake of the Sindarius stint, which is something that Doc Rivers used to do almost patronizingly. He would put out Sindarius for like a 3-second inbounds play.
Yeah.
And he would sometimes get a deflection. It was pretty elite. Yes. He recently tweeted, "What y'all giving Ben Simmons so much hell but ignoring Kawhi Leonard?"
In reference to
Ben Simmons not playing and all this other stuff.
And he I guess I just don't understand it. Like, the two situations to me are just so far from comparable.
Completely different.
You know, the Ben
Kawhi
Simmons
Leonard tore his knee.
Like. Yeah, yeah, totally. And yeah, I don't know. The Ben Simmons thing is kind of interesting because, like, I don't doubt that he does have, you know, some back pain and some stuff going on there.
Sure.
But he has been pretty open and candid with there being a bit of a mental thing too.
Yeah.
And I understand why a team would be frustrated with that. You know, you're paying the guy 20 plus mil a year or whatever, but it's also just...
that's just how shit goes.
It's just how things go. And I think that... I honestly do think that it was a bad move by whatever leak happened in the Nets organization that it even came out that there was frustrations about this because, like,
great call.
He just came from a situation where, like, I don't feel like he was protected by the organization at all. You have his head coach, like, openly.
I don't know if he's a winning. I don't know if he's, like, a winning guy. Yeah, yeah, like, come on, man.
Openly blasting him in the media, like, and Philly is bad about protecting players overall, I would
say.
Oh,
yeah, fans, organization. Yeah, they hate their players.
And so I think that this is, like, just another sort of brick in the road or whatever of my thing saying that the Nets are right now seem to me to be a bit of a dysfunctional organization. I think that this was, like, a severe misstep. And I don't care your, like...
the discourse is a nightmare on this, too. Reggie Miller tweeting him to hashtag man up. It's like, what the fuck?
Yeah, and it's just... like, here's the thing. It's like, I don't really care what your opinion is, whether you think Simmons is hurt, whether it's not. These sort of issues, like, even if it is a mental thing versus a physical thing, that still needs to, A, be kept private for Ben Simmons to talk about.
Yeah.
And, like, be respected as such. Like,
yeah. Doc used to say, mental days, like, a mental health thing should be the same as, like, my knee hurts. Like, that, it should be treated as the same thing.
Yeah, and then he goes and, like, blasts a dude on them.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Doc Rivers, you know, noted, great coach. So, no, but, yeah, it's just a weird tweet. And it's also like, dude, what? Like, just, come on, Sand.
Yeah.
Shout out to Darius Thornwell.
And the Kawhi thing, like, it's just, I said, like, he most likely would not be back this season. The timeline for that injury is 9 months.
And it's not like they were like, it's not like we have anything that they're like, Kawhi, please come back. You're able to. And he was like, no.
Yeah.
Just weird.
There were some murmurings that it was his call.
Sure. We heard some scuttlebutt.
Which
I'm also fine with. They let Kawhi do anything he wants with this organization.
Yeah.
But yeah, the only thing the Ben Simmons thing has produced is just bad takes.
Yeah.
If you have like a spirited take on this and you don't work for the Philly media or something like that, you're wasting your time.
and I guess I understand this tweet in like the sense that if he's just commenting more on the discourse about Ben Simmons. I still don't understand the comparison to Kawhi, but I think that he is right in being critical of
The goodwill thing,
of
right?
Of the hell that Ben Simmons is being given.
And it's the goodwill thing that we talked about last episode, where it's like, if you have goodwill, these conversations don't happen as much.
Yeah.
He just doesn't have goodwill through one reason or the other, two-way street there.
Yeah.
That the public is going to side with the not goodwill part.
And then I feel like you're opening up like a whole nother can of worms. Like, oh, okay. Like, what about, you know, what about Jamal Murray? Why doesn't Devin Booker play with the injured hamstring?
Yeah, exactly.
Nothing's broken.
Yeah,
there's
exactly.
No, like, actual...
Like, everyone should just be hurt. Everyone like, just play hurt. Get more hurt. It'd be great.
I don't know. It's one of those things that, like, I can understand why it's frustrating, and if you were, like, a Nets fan or something, I guess I could kind of get it. But, like, we're talking about a game four in a sweep.
Yeah.
And, like...
We're not talking... Yeah.
The man hasn't played basketball in a year.
Yeah.
And you think that, like, he's going to be a difference maker?
Hop
like,
on
even
in
if,
there.
Even if he's at 100%, he hasn't played in a game.
Well, you know what? Not a real complicated offensive system to learn over there.
Yeah, that's fair.
Oh, Steve Nash. That's who should be getting hell. All right. That about wraps it up. Thursday's episode, we're doing Luke Kennard's season grade. What's he going to get? Is he going to be the second A? I don't know. Probably not. Just where I'm sitting right now.
Have we been harsh on this year's grades?
Not at all. We were 42 and 40.
Yeah, that's true. It's a lot of C's.
It's a lot of C's. Luke Kennard's season grade, Thirsty Thursday. Justin Russo might be on. He's elusive. And then, of course, whatever else happens between now and then in Clipperland. Will, I'm checking right now if anyone's given us a season grade. Over on, oh wait, I can't remember. Where could people possibly give us?
So if you wanted to leave us a rating and review, season grade optional.
Please.
You could do that over on the podcast app or on your mobile device or Apple Podcasts if you're, you know, on the desktop. You can also do it over on Spotify.
I only listen to the podcast from my desktop computer.
Well, honestly, like at work, I do listen to stuff on my desktop.
Fire up the tower, you know?
Yeah. My PC.
Yeah, of course.
You can listen to us on, you know, either one of those platforms. You can also listen to us on Google Podcasts, on Amazon Music, we're on Stitcher, we're on Deezer. Basically, anywhere you listen to podcasts, you can listen to this show. We do come at you Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. Pacific. Hey, thanks for rocking with us. It's the off season. You're here. We appreciate you.
If you're here to this part of the episode, I hope you're having a great
hats time. Off.
Hats off. I'm taking my hat off. Tippett. I have been positive Chuck Mockler.
And I am William the Opinion Updike. And as always, we appreciate you.